And we're going to begin with verse 9 this morning and work our way down through, getting through all the 14th or 15th verse. We'll see how time permits this morning. But Nicodemus replied to Jesus concerning what Jesus had said about being born again, about you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, about his instructions concerning as the wind blows, where it wills. And you can't tell where it's come from and where it's going. But you can see the effects. You can hear the effects of the wind. And he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Just as that wind, you can't see the wind, so the Spirit is. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see where the Spirit has worked. You can see the life of the individual in which the Spirit of God has worked. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. They're a new creature. They're a new creation. They've had a new birth. And Nicodemus replied to him, answered and said, how can these things be? How can these things be? Certainly, this morning, as we think about this question of Nicodemus, certainly this reveals the natural man, that he was looking at it from the natural man's standpoint of view. We've already seen in past that Nicodemus didn't understand these things. Spirit of God was not in him to reveal those things. Nicodemus was an educated man, and being a ruler of the Jews, he would have been educated not only in physical education, but in the law and the prophets. He would have been schooled well in them as he was to render judgments concerning them. Probably without doubt, being that he was a Pharisee, he was of exemplary moral character. One that he as a Pharisee could have bragged about. Was common to them. But something more than education is needed. Something more than morality is needed in order to understand the things of God. God has spoken plainly to those of us who have been born again, have received new life. We read the Word of God and lot of things in the Word of God are plain and simple, easy to be understood. Yet the natural man has no capacity to receive them. He has no capacity to receive what God has recorded in His Word, what God has said. Just as Nicodemus had no capacity within him to understand what Jesus was talking about. We're going to even see the wonderment of that, the amazement of that, as we continue on in these verses today. Jesus had said, destroy this temple, referring to his body. But they only understood concerning the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus had also spoken of living water to the woman at the well. She only understood concerning the water from Jacob's well. He spoke of meat to eat to his disciples. He spoke of meat to eat that they knew not of. And they quizzed among themselves. Did somebody give him something to eat that we weren't aware of? They didn't understand what he was talking about at the first. In John chapter 6 and verses 51, 52, Jesus spoke of living bread that had come down from heaven. And he said, I'm that living bread. And he said, he gave them his flesh to eat. And they said, can he give us his flesh to eat? They didn't understand what he was talking about. And on, we could go through this gospel, the Gospel of John in particular. What a proof of man's blindness. Nicodemus was no exception to this truth. He might have been a master, a teacher, a ruler in Israel. But he was ignorant of spiritual things. He was ignorant of the things of God. In verse 10, Jesus responds to him. He says, art thou a master of Israel? Was this not a rebuke? You're a master in Israel. You're a teacher in Israel. You're a ruler in Israel. And you're untaught yourself. You're unlearned yourself. You don't have understanding of these things, and yet you're to teach others concerning these things. You're an upholder of light. And yet you're in the dark. Yet you abide in darkness. In the book of Mark, in chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let them alone. That is concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It was obvious that Nicodemus was one of these. But at least Nicodemus came searching. Came to Jesus searching these things out. You're a teacher, and yet you're ignorant You don't understand. You don't understand the most elementary spiritual truths. How solemn. How solemn this is. How soul-searching. I wonder this morning to what extent that is true of me and of you. You've heard me testify in the past. Sometimes I sit down with the Word of God to study and I feel so stupid. I feel so unlearned. And yet I'm so hard-headed. Because sometimes I'll sit there and I know it. I know it takes the Holy Spirit to teach me. And sometimes I'll sit there for an hour, going on two maybe, and struggling and trying to understand. And finally I said, "What, you idiot? You need to bow your head. You need to pray. You need to pray to the one whose words these are. For him to enlighten you, for him to give you understanding of his word." You see how foolish we are sometimes? How little we know. Maybe of some of the things we ought to know. How little we know. We're blind. We're blind. These things can't be received by the natural man. They cannot be received by the flesh. We must be enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 16. And look at with me at verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Not all that is contained in the Word of God, but every truth that you receive, he is going to guide you into that truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." If we'll sit down with the Word of God and seek him to give us the truth, he'll show us. He'll show us truth from the Word of God. He'll show us things that we've not yet seen heretofore. Oh, what a blessing it is when he reveals these things to us. We need to seek the great physician. We need to seek of him, Eyesalve, so that we can see. As he told the Laodiceans in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, he told the Laodiceans there, the lukewarm church, that he was going to spew out of his mouth. He said in verse 18, he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Seek me that I may anoint your eyes with eyesight salve, that you might see. Sometimes I'm so blind. I need him to anoint my eyes with eyesight that I might see. Going back to our text in the third chapter of John, in Moving on, in verse 11, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know." Well, it seems strange for him to say, it appears, as we said at the beginning of the study of this chapter, that it was just Nicodemus and Jesus. But he said, "We speak that we do know." Well, John the Baptist had come on the scene, the forerunner of Christ, preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, preaching repentance and faith in him who was to come. Jesus came on the scene preaching likewise repentance and faith in him. We come through the first chapter and seeing Jesus coming out of the first chapter with six disciples at that time to follow him, to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. So certainly Jesus was speaking here. We speak that we do know. We speak the truth. The truth concerning spiritual life. You must be born again. That which is flesh, that which is born of the flesh. It is dead in sins and trespasses. That which is born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit has life from above. He affirmed that which he knew to be a divine reality. Yes, it's a divine reality. He testified to that which he had an actual existence and could be seen and observed. These things surely Nicodemus knew. And they were earthly things. As we think back on the first 8 verses, Jesus gave earthly examples. You must be born again. Nicodemus knew what it was to be born. He just didn't understand being born again. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's belly and be born again? No, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He clarified what he was talking about when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. You must be born of the Word and of the Spirit. Marvel not, Nicodemus, and I said unto you, you must be born again. Jesus here gives an example to pastors and teachers of the Word. Any of us. Not just pastors and teachers, any of us. If you're witnessing to somebody, don't attempt to explain, to expound that which you don't know. Only expound that which is already clear to you. But don't try to go into that which is not clear to you. And if they pose something that is not clear to you, say, that's a good point. I'll have to study that out and get back with you. Don't try to go into it with your own understanding, that which you're not clear of. He also said in verse 11, the last part of that, and ye receive not our witness. He said, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. There was the problem. See, in the previous verse, Christ rebukes Nicodemus for his ignorance, for his lack of understanding, for his not understanding of what he was talking about, of spiritual truth, of the things of God. And here he reveals the reason. He reveals the cause. Man does not know the things of God because he receives not God's witness. Man refuses to receive the witness of God. Even those men I've told you about that I've known over the years, that unsaved, and as far as I know, passed on from this life being unsaved, had read the Bible many times through, from cover to cover, but they did not understand what they read. They did not receive the witness of God. Important. This is important. Very important. Receiving, then knowledge. First, believing, and then understanding. We have this pointed out to us in a very familiar portion of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 3. It said, through faith. What's the next words? We understand. You see, first is faith. And then because faith is there, because of being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that it is so, then he gives us understanding that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen, the heavens and the earth, and the things in them, the things which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. They were not made of matter. How were they made? How did they come about? God spoke. And it was so. You see, it's only by faith that we understand that God spoke. There was nothing, and God spoke. And there was something. You see, faith is the root of perception. We believe God's word. He honors our faith by giving us knowledge of what we have believed. No belief, no understanding, no knowledge. He goes on to say in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not. Nicodemus, I've told you of earthly things. In other words, I've given you the likeness, earthly things, and given you the likeness to the spiritual. In the previous verse, the Lord laid open the cause of his ignorance, the cause of the lack of his understanding in the things of God. And in this verse, he reveals the condition of growth and knowledge. God's law in the spiritual realm corresponds with that which is operates in the natural realm. We similarly see a likeness to that when we compare creation to the new birth. Creation, the 6 days of creation mirror that of the new birth. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark in chapter 4. And look with me at verse 28. Jesus here is speaking again to different ones, and he's speaking in the physical sense, in the earthly sense, to bring forth spiritual truth. He says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, herself. First the blade of grass, the blade of wheat, wheat is a grass, or the grain, whatever grain it is, a blade. First the blade, then the ear, the little grain begins to appear there, that which you harvest. After that, the full corn, in other words, the time when that ear has come to complete, it's mature, it's ready for the harvest. After that, the full corn in the ear. And then when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in the sickle to it. Why? Because the harvest was ready. Come to that. Brings forth the spiritual truth. First there's life, there's faith. And that faith begins to grow. Get bigger. We trust God in more. We learn to trust Him more and more and more. You see, God will not reveal to us a higher truth until we have thoroughly understood the simple ones. Earthly things are evidence of earthly things are evident and in measure capable of being understood. They're things that we relate to in our everyday lives. Many times Jesus used them to try to bring out spiritual truth. But heavenly things are invisible. They're not things which we can see. And faith is in the unseen. They're invisible and altogether beyond our understanding. It's why it takes the Spirit of God to understand these things. It's why these things are, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, they're spiritually discerned. And yea, even the deep things of God, which goes beyond earthly, in the likeness there. We understand by the earthly things, the new birth, which takes place here upon earth. And the Lord's reference to the wind as an illustration of the Spirit of God's working and moving I mean, I understand that full well. You would have thought Nicodemus would you not? Would have understood? Nicodemus, you're familiar with the wind. You're familiar with its blowing, and you can't see it, but you can see the effects of its blowing on things around you. Yes, and yesterday when it was only in the 50s here in Florida, and it was windy. I couldn't see the wind, but I could see the effects of it. And boy, if I stepped outside, I could feel the effects of it blowing. The sun didn't do a whole lot of good yesterday. The Lord did do some. These were things that Nicodemus should have known about, weren't they? Nicodemus, you're a master. You're a teacher. You're a ruler in Israel. He should have known about this. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. In chapter 36. I remind you again who Nicodemus was. Well, certainly he should have known this passage, should he not? He probably knew of it. Probably didn't understand it. Then will I, verse 25, Ezekiel 36 and verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Well, now Nicodemus may have understood that part. Maybe. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. See, Nicodemus should have understood this. I'll take those old passions and desires that are built up in you. And he said, I'll take them out of you, and I'll give you new desires and passions to serve me with. Nicodemus did not believe God's word concerning these earthly things. This was earthly things spoken of in Ezekiel. Jesus spoke up to him face to face of earthly things. What use would it be for Christ to have spoken of heavenly things? He did not understand them, certainly not. If he couldn't understand the earthly, why is our growth in things of God so slow? We talk about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why at times does it seem like we're growing so little, so slowly? What is it that stunts our growth? In the knowledge of truth. Could it be that we're willingly ignorant of these things? The earthly things, if you'll permit me to put it like this, are the commandments of God, which are for the regulation of of our daily lives, our daily walk, the earthly. If we do not believe these things, and let me remind you, disobedience to the commands of God is unbelief. God said, you didn't believe me. That's what he told Aaron and Moses. You didn't believe me. They were disobedient to do God's will and God's command. If we do not heed them, then will God reveal to us greater truths? If we don't obey Him in the things that we see and know from His Word, will He go deeper with us into the things of God? Now, let me get back to our text here. We're ready for verse 13. In verse 13, he said, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven." No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Oh, this is a beautiful verse. This is wonderful. To ascend to heaven is an utter impossibility for man, is it not? I can't just go up. It's an utter impossibility. Only the Son. Only the Son whose residence was in heaven. He came down from heaven. Was qualified because he came down from heaven. He was in heaven. He came down from heaven. Only he was qualified to reveal heavenly things. But what did the Lord mean here? Christ did not say, "No man hath entered heaven." Did it? But no man hath ascended up to heaven. No man hath gone up. Or is only. Ascended means to go up. The only one who was a man that did go up was Christ. So no one has ascended, and no one ever will. Some might say, what about Enoch? Well, what about Enoch? It's recorded of Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that he was translated. That is, he was transferred from earth to heaven. Someone did it. God did it. Transferred him to heaven. What about Elijah? Well, as said of Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, that he went up by a whirlwind. God brought a chariot of fire that parted the waters between them, and then Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. even the saints, that the coming, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 that we are caught up. He catches us away into it. He does into heaven. So he says in verse 13, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. When I thought on it, this is wonderful. I've never really thought on this before. What a blessed revelation and truth this is. Christ was in heaven. And he came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Even Jesus Christ, who is standing here now, the Son of Man, who is standing here now, talking to Nicodemus, and at the same time is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Oh, it certainly proves, is another evidence of his deity. It affirms his omnipresence. He could be on earth and in heaven at the same time. He is the heavenly. Every essential attribute of his deity is affirmed. It is affirmed of Christ in this statement to Nicodemus. And in the whole of this Gospel of John, the book of John, as we go through and see more of Jesus Christ, it reveals his divine perfections. John chapter 1, verse 1 started out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, expressing his eternality. Down in verse 14, we see an expression of his glory, his divine glory. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that divine glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 48, we see an expression of his omniscience. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I knew you then. Certainly an expression of his omniscience. We have another expression of his omniscience in the last two verses of chapter 2. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 46. We see an expression of his matchless wisdom. The servants there, the officers there, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." They were just confounded. "I never heard a man speak like this man did." Oh, the wisdom, the matchless wisdom that he expressed. In John chapter 13, and verse 1, we see his eternal love, his unchanging love. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Oh, his unchanging love, his eternal love for those that are his. And on we could go through this book of John. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 14, and we'll stop there this morning. Take up there next week with verse 14 and those songs. Oh, the blessed Son of God. He came down from heaven. Witnessed upon earth. To do the work of the Father. And at the same time that he was on earth, he was in heaven. Verse 15 says, "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I trust this morning that everyone hath believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have trusted in him, and are not to perish, but have everlasting life. Brother Mike.